A second chance. 15. In the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna refers to Bhagavad Dharma as the most confidential religious principle, Sarva Guhyatmam, Guhyat Guhyataram. Krishna says to Arjuna, because you are my very dear friend, I'm explaining to you the most confidential religion. Sarva Dharman Paratyajayamam Ekam Saranam Vraja, give up all other duties and surrender unto me. One may ask, if this principle is very rarely understood, what is the use of it? In answer, Yamaraja states herein, that this religious principle is understandable, if one follows the Parampara system of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, and the other standard authorities. There are four lines of disciplic succession, one from Lord Brahma, one from Lord Shiva, one from Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, and one from the Kumaras. The disciplic succession from Lord Brahma is called the Brahma Sampradaya. The succession from Lord Shiva, Sambhu, is called the Rudra Sampradaya. The one from the goddess of fortune, Lakshmiji, is called the Shri Sampradaya. And the one from the Kumaras is called the Kumara Sampradaya. One must take shelter of one of these four sampradayas in order to understand the most confidential religious system. In the Padma Purana it is said, Sampradaya Vihinayu Mantras Tenis Phalamata, if one does not follow the four recognized disciplic successions, his mantra, or initiation, is useless. At present there are many aprasampradayas, or unbonafide sampradayas, which have no link to authorities like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the Kumaras, or Lakshmi. People are misguided by such sampradayas. The sastras say that being initiated into such a sampradaya is a waste of time, for it will never enable one to understand real religious principles and surrender to Krishna. Real religious principles are Bhagavad Dharma, the principles described in the Srimad Bhagavatam itself, or in the Bhagavad Gita, the preliminary study of the Bhagavatam. What are these principles? The Bhagavatam 1.1.2 says, Dharma prajjatikatavotra, in the Srimad Bhagavatam there are no cheating religious systems. In other words, everything in the Bhagavatam is directly connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Bhagavatam 1.2.6 further says, Save Pumsam Paro Dharma Yato Bhaktira Toxage, the supreme religion is that which teaches its followers how to love the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of experimental knowledge. Such a religious system begins with Tanamagrahana, chanting the holy name of the Lord. After chanting the holy name and dancing in ecstasy, one gradually sees the transcendental form of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, and the pastimes of the Lord. In this way one fully understands the situation of the personality of Godhead. One can come to this understanding of the Lord, however, only by executing devotional service. As Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, 18.55, Bhaktiya mam apajanati yavanyas kasmi tatvata, one can understand me as I'm only by devotional service. If a person is fortunate enough to understand the Supreme Lord in this way, the result is that, after giving up his material body, he no longer has to take birth in this material world. Instead, he returns home, back to Godhead. That is the ultimate perfection. Therefore, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita 8.15, Mamapetaya Punarjanma, the Kalayamasasvitam, Napnuvanti Mahatmana, Samsitim Paramam Gata. After attaining me, the great souls, who are yogis in devotion, never return to this temporary world, which is full of miseries, because they have attained the highest perfection. Evidence in support of chanting the holy name. There is no need to conduct research into the significance of the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. The history of Ajamila is sufficient proof of the power of the Lord's holy name and the exalted position of a person who chants the holy name incessantly. Therefore, Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu advised, Haranama Haranama, Haranamava Kevalam, Kala Nasti Eva Nasti Eva, Nasti Eva Gadaranirtha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Brand Niradaya Purana March 8, 126. In this age, almost no one can perform all the difficult ritualistic ceremonies for becoming liberated. Therefore, all the sastras and all the acharyas have recommended that in this age one simply chant the holy name. That will bring one all perfection. In the assembly of Raghunathadasa Goswami's father, Hridayasathakura confirmed that simply by chanting the Lord's holy name a person is liberated, even if he does not chant completely and offensively. Smarta Brahmanas and Mayavadas do not believe that one can achieve liberation in this way. But the truth of Hridayasathakura's statement is supported by many quotations from the Vedic literature. In the passage of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion, for example, Yamaraja says, it should be understood that one is easily relieved from all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name of the Lord and chanting his qualities and activities. This is the only process recommended for relief from sinful reactions. In his commentary on this verse, Sridharasvami gives the following quotation, Sayam Pratagranan Bhaktaya Dukha Gramat Vimusayate. If one continually chants the holy name of the Lord with great devotion morning and evening, one will become free from all material miseries. Another quotation confirms that a person can achieve liberation if he hears the holy name of the Lord continually, every day, with great respect, anudinam idam adarina sranvan. Another quotation says, Sravanam Kirtanam Dhyanam, Hararabhuta Karmana, Janma Karma Gunanam Ka, Tadarth Kilasastitam. One should always chant and hear about the wonderful activities of the Lord, one should meditate upon these activities, and one should endeavor to please the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam November 3, 27. Sridharasvami also gives the following quote from the Puranas, Papak Sayaskabavati Smaratam Tam Adarnisam. One can become free from all sinful reactions simply by remembering the lotus feet of the Lord day and night. Finally, he quotes from the chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion, June 3, 31. Kasmat Sankirtanam Visner, Jagan Mangalam Amhasam, Mahatam Apikaravayam, Vitya Kantikan Iskortam. The chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtana movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. All these quotations prove that one who constantly engages in chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, along with descriptions of his fame, form, and activities, is liberated. As stated wonderfully in verse 24, Atavadalam Aganir Harane Pumsam, simply by uttering the name of the Lord, one is freed from all sinful reactions. The word Alam in this verse indicates that simply uttering the holy name of the Lord is sufficient. There is no need of any other process. Even if a person chants imperfectly, he becomes free from all sinful reactions. The liberation of a Jamila proves this power of chanting the holy name. When a Jamila chanted the holy name of Narayana, he did not precisely remember the Supreme Lord. Instead, he remembered his own son. At the time of death, a Jamila certainly was not very clean. Indeed, he was famous as a great sinner. Furthermore, one's physiological condition is completely disturbed at the time of death, and in such an awkward condition it would certainly have been very difficult for a Jamila to have chanted clearly. Nevertheless, a Jamila achieved liberation simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Therefore, what is to be said of those who are not sinful like a Jamila? It is to be concluded that with a strong vow one should chant the holy name of the Lord, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, for thus by the grace of Krishna one will certainly be delivered from the clutches of Maya. The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is recommended even for persons who commit offenses, because if they continue chanting they will gradually chant offenselessly. Then, by chanting Hare Krishna without offenses, one increases his love for Krishna. As stated by Lord Caitanya, Premapamarthamatman, one's main concern should be to increase one's attachment to the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to increase one's love for Him. Since one may easily achieve the highest success by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one may ask why there are so many Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, and why people are attracted to them. Yamaraja answers this question in the passage of Srimad Bhagavatam under discussion. Unfortunately, unintelligent people are bewildered by the grandeur of Vedic yajnas, and thus they want to see gorgeous sacrifices performed. They want Vedic mantras chanted, and huge amounts of money spent for such ceremonies. Sometimes we have to observe the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to please such unintelligent men. In 1975, when we established a large Krishna Balarama temple in Vrindavana, we were obliged to have Vedic ceremonies performed by Brahmanas, because the inhabitants of Vrindavana, especially the smarter Brahmanas, would not accept Europeans and Americans as bona fide Brahmanas. Thus we had to engage Brahmanas to perform costly yajnas. As these yajnas were being performed, the members of our society performed Sankirtan loudly W.I.T.M.R.D.A.N.G.A.S., and I considered the Sankirtana more important than the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. The ceremonies and the Sankirtana were going on simultaneously. The ceremonies were meant for persons interested in Vedic rituals for elevation to heavenly planets, Jatikritam Adirmadhupaspitayam, whereas the Sankirtana was meant for pure devotees interested in pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We would simply have performed Sankirtana, but then the inhabitants of Vrindavana would not have taken the installation ceremony seriously. As explained here, the Vedic performances are meant for those whose intelligence has been dulled by the flowery words of the Vedas, which describe sacrifices intended to elevate one to the higher planets. Especially in this age, Sankirtana alone is sufficient. If the members of our temples in the different parts of the world simply continue Sankirtana before the deity, especially before Sri Caitanya Mahaprabhu, they will remain perfect. There is no need of any other performances. Nevertheless, to keep oneself clean in habits and mind, deity worship and other regulative principles are required. Srila Jiva Goswami says that, although Sankirtana is sufficient for the perfection of life, worship of the deity in the temple must continue, so that the devotees may stay clean and pure. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakura therefore recommended that one follow both processes simultaneously. We strictly follow his principle of performing deity worship and Sankirtana along parallel lines. This we should continue. The jurisdiction of Yamaraja. In this regard, Srila Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura quotes the following verse from the prayers of Lord Brahma, Srimad Bhagavatam, October 14, 29. Atharpi Tetiva Padlam Bhujadvaya Prasadalasanagrahita Ivahai Janardi Tatvam Bhagavan Mahimno Nakanaya Ekopai Siram Vasinvan. The purport is that, even though one is a very learned scholar of the Vedic Sastras, he may be completely unaware of the existence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his name, fame, qualities, and so forth, whereas one who is not a great scholar can understand the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead if he somehow or other becomes a pure devotee of the Lord by engaging in devotional service. Therefore in verse 26 Yamaraja says, Avam Vimrasaya Sadhyayo Bhagavati, those who engage in the loving service of the Lord become Sadhyaya, intelligent, but this is not so of a Vedic scholar who does not understand Krishna's name, fame, and qualities. A pure devotee is one whose intelligence is clear. He is truly thoughtful, because he engages in the service of the Lord, not as a matter of show but with love, with his mind, words, and body. Non-devotees may make a show of religion, but it is not very effective, because although they ostentatiously attend a temple or church, they are thinking of something else. Such persons are neglecting their religious duty and are punishable by amaritya. But a devotee who commits sinful acts unwillingly or accidentally, because of his former habits, is excused. That is the value of the Sankirtana movement. In effect, Yamaraja warned his servants, "My dear servants, henceforward you must stop disturbing the devotees. The devotees who have surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord, and who constantly chant his holy name are praised by the demigods and the residents of Sitaloka. Those devotees are so respectable and exalted that Lord Vishnu personally protects them with the club in his hand. If you approach such devotees, he will kill you with that club. What to speak of you, if even Lord Brahma, or I were to punish them, Lord Vishnu would punish us. Therefore do not disturb the devotees any further." After warning the Yamadutas in this way, Yamaraja then indicates who is to be brought before him. He specifically advises the Yamadutas to bring to him materialistic persons attached to household life merely for sex. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, July 9, 45, he sukham hi tukham, people are attached to household life only for sex pleasure, which is very insignificant. They are always harassed in many ways by their material engagements for making money to maintain their families, and their only happiness is that, after working very hard all day, at night they sleep and indulge in sex. Yamaraja specifically advises his servants to bring these persons to him for punishment, and not to bring the devotees, who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of the Lord, who are equal to everyone, and who try to preach Krishna consciousness out of sympathy for all living entities. Devotees are not liable to be punished by Yamaraja, but persons who have no information of Krishna consciousness cannot be protected by their material life of so-called family enjoyment. This Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.4 says, Dipatayakalatradisv atmasaniasvasatsvapi tesam pramato nidhanam pasayan api napasayadi. Materialistic persons complacently believe that their nations, communities, or families can protect them, unaware that all such fallible soldiers will be destroyed in due course of time. In conclusion, one should try to associate with persons who engage in devotional service 24 hours a day. Then one can come to know the purpose of human life, which is to please Lord Vishnu. Varnasrama Dharma is also meant for that purpose. As stated in the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, Varnasrama Karavata Purusena Parapuman Visnura Radhaya Pantha Nayatatosakaranam. Human society is meant to follow strictly the Varnasrama Dharma, which divides society into four social divisions: Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaisya, and Sudra, and four spiritual divisions: Brahmacharya, Grastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyasa. Varnasrama Dharma easily brings one nearer to Lord Vishnu, who is the only true objective in human society. Natavidasvarthagatam hi Vishnam. Unfortunately, however, people do not know that their self-interest is to return home, back to Godhead, or to approach Lord Vishnu. Instead, they are simply bewildered by Krishna's external, illusory energy. Every human being is expected to perform duties meant for approaching Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Yamaraja advises the Yamadutas to bring him only those persons who have forgotten their duties toward Vishnu. One who does not chant the holy name of Vishnu or Krishna, who does not bow down to the deity of the Lord, and who does not remember his lotus feet is punishable by Yamaraja. In summary, all of Vaisnavas, persons unconcerned with Lord Vishnu, are punishable by Yamaraja. Chapter 22. The Glories of the Holy Name. Then Yamaraja, considering himself and his servants offenders, spoke as follows, begging pardon from the Lord. O my Lord, my servants have surely committed a great offense by arresting a Vaisnava such as a Jamula. O Narayana, O Supreme and Oldest Person, please forgive us. Because of our ignorance, we fail to recognize a Jamula as a servant of your Lordship, and thus we have certainly committed a great offense. Therefore, with folded hands we beg your pardon. My Lord, since you are supremely merciful, and are always full of good qualities, please pardon us. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Sukadeva Goswami continued, my dear King, the chanting of the holy name of the Lord is able to uproot even the reactions of the greatest sins. Therefore, the chanting of the Sankirtana movement is the most auspicious activity in the entire universe. Please try to understand this, so that others will take it seriously. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord, and hears and chants about his activities, can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna do not care at all for material activities, which are performed under the three modes of nature, and which bring only misery. Indeed, devotees never give up the lotus feet of Krishna to return to material activities. Others, however, who are addicted to Vedic rituals, because they have neglected the service of the Lord's lotus feet, and are enchanted by lusty desires, sometimes perform acts of atonement. Nevertheless, being incompletely purified, they return to sinful activities again and again. After hearing from the mouth of their master about the extraordinary glories of the Lord and his name, fame, and attributes, the Yamadutas were struck with wonder. Since then, as soon as they see a devotee, they fear him, and dare not look at him again. When the great sage Agastya was residing in the Malaya hills, and worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, I approached him, and he explained to me this confidential history, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.3.30-35. Yamaraja prays for pardon. Lord Yamaraja took upon himself the responsibility for the offense committed by his servants. If the servant of an establishment makes a mistake, The establishment takes responsibility for it. Although Yamaraja is above offenses, his servants, practically with his permission, went to arrest Jamila, which was a great offense. The Nyaya Sastra confirms, Bhartayaparatsvaminodanda, if a servant makes an offense, the master is punishable. Taking this seriously, Yamaraja, along with his servants, prayed with folded hands to be excused by the Supreme Lord, Narayana, achieving perfection. We should note that, although Ajamila chanted the name of Narayana imperfectly, he was delivered from all sinful reactions. The chanting of the holy name is so auspicious that it can free everyone from the reactions of sinful activities. However, as we have mentioned several times before, no one should conclude that he may continue to sin with the intention of chanting Hare Krishna to neutralize the reactions. Rather, one should be very careful to remain free from all sins and never think of counteracting sinful activities by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, for this is another offense. If by chance a devotee accidentally performs some sinful activity, the Lord will excuse him, but one should not intentionally perform sinful acts. One may very easily practice chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord, and thus become ecstatic in spiritual life. The Padma Purana states, Namikarata Yuktanam, Namani Eva Haranti Agam, Avasranti Prayuktani, Tani Avartha Karanika. Even if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra offensively, one can nullify these offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. One who becomes accustomed to this practice will always remain in a pure transcendental position, untouchable by sinful reactions. A devotee's duty is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. One may sometimes chant with offenses, and sometimes without offenses, but if one seriously adopts this process, he will achieve perfection, which cannot be achieved through Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement. Persons who are attached to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, but do not believe in devotional service, who advise atonement, but do not appreciate the chanting of the Lord's holy name, fail to achieve the highest perfection. Devotees, therefore, being completely detached from material enjoyment, never give up Krishna consciousness for Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Those who are attached to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, because of lusty desires, are subjected to the tribulations of material existence again and again. Since this incident, the Yamadutas have given up the dangerous behavior of approaching devotees. For the Yamadutas, a devotee is dangerous. Back to Vedanta Swami Prabhupada.